Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's talk tech now, because a product announcement from one of the world's leading artificial intelligence and tech companies could mean big things for the future of work. In Silicon Valley, a few hours ago, the CEO of NVIDIA unveiled a new chip, Blackwell, for powering generative AI models, which promises to be faster, higher powered, and more energy efficient to run. You might not be familiar with this name, NVIDIA. As familiar anyway as other tech giants like Facebook and Google, but it is a colossal player in the tech space. As I mentioned earlier, depending on who you ask, it is the second or third most valuable country in the world in terms of market capitalization, lagging behind only Microsoft and possibly Apple. James Thompson is a senior columnist for Chanticleer in the Australian Financial Review, and he joins me now. James, kia ora, thanks for joining us here on Nights.
Oh, thanks for having me, Emil. Nice to be here.
So you were listening to the presentation that the NVIDIA CEO, Jensen Huang, gave earlier today, a crowd of 20,000 people. What was it like? What was the spectacle like in the room?
Well, it was a little bit like the old Steve Jobs presentations when he would announce a new product at Apple. Jensen has a very specific uniform. He goes with a black leather jacket, black T-shirt, black jeans, black shoes with white soles, and he spoke for 2 hours, interspersed with a series of sort of slides and animations. Even a couple of robots came on stage at the end, but it was quite the dog and pony show, I guess. That there was, I confess, a lot of the jargon and technological stuff went over my head, but the audience of tech developers was certainly sort of eating out of the palm of his hand and laughing at his corny jokes and generally hanging off every word.
So in terms of the substance of the announcement, what exactly was announced today? I mean, a new chip, to most people that means, you know, next to nothing, right?
Yeah, well, that's true. It doesn't sound like much, but NVIDIA, I guess, is the company that's really driving this generative AI revolution around the world. So when you think about ChatGPT and other similar generative AI models, Microsoft's one's called Bing, and there's a few other ones floating around, those are all powered at the very core by NVIDIA's chips. The previous chip they had was a chip called Hopper. And it's really the hottest item in tech at the moment. Very hard to find. It's like an out-of-stock item that you've got to put on special order. But what NVIDIA announced on Monday night was a new chip called Blackwell, named after an African-American academic, that's even faster, uses less energy, and will basically be able to do a lot more computing on these large language models, which is what AI is hung off. So if you think of ChatGPT, how fast it is now, the idea is these Blackwell chips, in simple terms, will be able to process requests or queries into ChatGPT even faster and do it at 25% or 25 times, I should say, less energy consumption when it's all set up and going.
And, I mean, these numbers, when it comes to computing, I mean, there's this old law, isn't there? The law of computing power, that that computing power increases by 100 times every 10 years. And in terms of NVIDIA's rhetoric around this, the suggestion is that this could be a total game changer, a watershed moment when it comes to generative AI.
Yeah, as you say, it's called Moore's Law, that law of computing power. So, yes. 100 times faster computers have tended to get over 10 years. What we're seeing with AI at the moment is NVIDIA's chips are getting 1,000 times faster over 8 years. So the speed of development is going to a whole nother level. And I think that's got some really big ramifications. There's lots of sort of cool things. Anyone who's played around with ChatGPT will have fun asking it to write a poem based on your friend's hobbies or find a picture, create a picture of a couple of family members doing something silly. That's all good fun. But if you think of how these generative AI models could develop, they can... The worry for me, and the excitement too, is that they could do the work of humans, particularly in areas where, you know, the rules and set parameters are involved. That they could really start taking that load off humans pretty quickly. Maybe within, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, the nature of the way we work in some of those areas could be totally different.
Yeah, I mean, in your column, you suggest a simple and rather chilling thought exercise that people could probably do themselves. Can you describe it for us?
Yeah, well, I've been thinking a lot about this myself in the last little while. So picture a team in where you work, say a team of 10 people, and imagine if you can, how generative AI could reduce the size of that team. Now, perhaps it goes from 10 people down to 7. And, you know, generative AI just does a couple of the boring administrative type tasks that nobody really wants to do anyway. But if you multiply that across a company, that's a 30% reduction in staff. Multiply that across a sector, multiply it across the economy, and all of a sudden you're talking pretty big numbers. Now, every job's not going to be suitable to be taken over by generative AI, but there's lots of jobs in administration where you're following sort of a set of rules or a set of parameters that, you know, could be ideal for generative AI to come in and assist with. So I guess the hope is that, you know, those 10 people all remain employed, but they've got a generative AI co-pilot helping them along in their daily work, and their job becomes better. They lose all the boring administrative tasks. They get to focus on the fun, creative stuff. But I'm not sure it'll necessarily go like that. I think you could see a world where, yeah, a team of 10 becomes a team of 7 augmented by AI. You could even imagine a world in some industries where a team of 10 becomes a team of 3 augmented by AI. Now the potential is there for a lot of job losses. Now, some companies will say that's great, lots of cost cuts too. But I wonder about the human cost of this. And I think, you know, it's hard to imagine at the moment. It's hard to do that thought exercise. It doesn't sound either very nice or very real, but I think it's something we need to start thinking about.
I wonder about the human side of it as well, and the philosophical side of it, and in terms of the sense that, like, I know that it's not good for people to for people to tie up their entire sense of self-worth and work, but many people do, and work is an important, you know, a vitally important thing of a person's identity. And you know, this utopian idea that AI is just going to release us all from the shackles of the 9-to-5 and we'll be free to paint and compose symphonies and poems and, you know, haikus out in the garden and things like that. I mean, that that seems to me very unrealistic, and perhaps that it will leave a kind of, not a spiritual hole, but maybe a hole in terms of purpose in people. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, I think people's self-worth is often tied up in their work. I mean, let's face it, we spend a good third of our time, if not more, at work. So you naturally, you know, dedicate yourself to it in some way. I agree. I'm just not sure what this looks like for individuals. In some cases, it may make their work life better when they strip away the admin and the boring stuff and focus on the creative stuff. But I think in some industries, it's going to be real, it's going to mean really big change. I mean, think of some of the sectors where, you know, it's about following rules. I mean, the classic I always think of is banking. Yeah. Banks and employ lots of people on both sides of the Tasman. And if you work in a bank, it's about assessing loans and assessing applications against a pretty set criteria. Mm. Now, there's a little bit of need for human touch there, but how many of, if we come back to that team of 10, how many humans do we need to touch that process? Is it 10? Is it 7? Is it 3? I don't know, but I'm starting to worry a little bit about where that ends up. And then how do we redeploy those people mm-hmm. across the economy? Can we create better, more creative, more interesting jobs for them? And if you look at history, you know, it says we probably can, that there's been major technological shifts in the past, and economies have tended to adapt and come through them with improved living standards. So that might be the case here too, but the power of these AI models, the speed with which they're developing, means there's going to be a few uncomfortable moments, I think, on the path to that.
James, just apropos of nothing at all, do you know what stage generative AI is when it comes to late night radio show hosting, anything like that?
Well, I've asked myself the same about newspaper columnists, and I guess we both need to hope that, you know, sort of knowledge workers who are a little bit creative may have a longer shelf life. But you know, there are some spectacular AI models out there where, you know, I've seen videos of Australian CEOs who can have a speech translated into 15 different languages and it looks completely natural. And I do sometimes think to myself, I wonder if we will need columnists in 15 years' time. But look, these are all the, I mean, it's terribly exciting to think about these questions and it's going to be historic. But yeah, you know, governments have got a hard enough job at the moment balancing all the various priorities. I just wonder what it might be like in 5 or 7 years' time managing the fallout from AI sweeping across economies as well.
It's fascinating stuff to think about. James Thompson from the Australian Financial Review, really fun chatting to you this evening. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.